The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'm reading a good book that I want to share some ideas from. Joseph Goldstein wrote One Dharma in 2002, and his idea was to take ideas from Tibetan, Zen, and Vipassana Buddhism and bring them together in Western practice. And he said he based his summaries on experience rather than theoretical. And I find it's a really good book, and it's kind of short and summarizes everything. So there's one sentence especially that caught my attention for today. In Western Buddhism, the method is mindfulness. The expression is compassion. The essence is wisdom. And I thought that pretty much summed up our whole practice. So first, mindfulness is the method. An awful lot of our attention goes to mindfulness. And I like Ram Dass' definition, be here now. Okay, that's simple, I get it. In this place, at this time, to be aware, to be awake, to be alert. And when we're not mindful, we have the experience of maybe just going on autopilot and acting out of habit. We all have conditions and causes to what we're doing. And when we're not paying attention, we might be surprised at something that we might say or something we might do, and then say, oop, and then start paying attention. So we really need mindfulness, especially when we make decisions, even small decisions, as well as large ones. Sometimes when we're meditating, we have quite a few distractions. There might be feelings and thoughts about the past or the future. And then the past and the future become the present, but they take us away from the focus of our meditation. So our intention when we meditate may be, for example, paying attention to the breath and letting the thoughts quiet down and the feelings quiet down and noticing the sensations and all of that. So going back to the focus is what we do. When I first started in Maryland going to Tara Brach's evening meditations, she said a sentence I've always remembered. She said it in the middle of the meditation when we were silent. We can always begin again. This meditation, this life. Well, that's interesting. We let go, we begin again. When we let go, what can we learn from ourselves? Now, we have mental formations, and some of them are thoughts, and we like things and we dislike other things, and we have desires and aversions, and we might want a situation to be different from what it really is. And when these things come up, many times, chances are, we recognize it and we let it go. And we go back to the focus of our meditation. And Joseph Goldstein asks, well, when we let go, what emerges? What do we learn about our minds? So then we also give attention to mindfulness in our daily activities. Might be a little more challenging. Some of them might be very refreshing. But they bring our mind close to our body when we're aware. Walking meditation is a great opportunity for unity within our own selves. And when people walk, and you might vary your method, but you might do the more detailed approach of lifting, moving, setting, shifting. And you might, on the other hand, sometimes take the swoosh, swoosh method, looking at the regular rhythm. And so in that way, we can help become unified within ourselves. Sometimes, most of the time, we can't really slow down to know what's going on. And Maria Stratman taught here recently, and I really liked her example of coming to the beginning of meditation at IMC. She said, she can look at her experience in two different ways. The first way is, I'm going to be late. The alternative is, I'm going to arrive later than I intended. And the first is, I'm rushing. And the alternative is, I need to move with alacrity. I loved that example. So the sense of urgency can be unpleasant. The deciding what to do about it and just go on from there can be pleasant or neutral, calm and matter of fact, without emotional stress. And Maria called this approach being equanimous. Going back now to Joseph Goldstein, he taught, the Buddha spoke of mindfulness as being the path to complete awakening, fulfilling our highest aspirations for happiness and peace. And Joseph quoted the sutra, which reads, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, for the realization of nirvana. So those are a few thoughts on mindfulness. And second, Joseph said Western Buddhism has the expression of compassion. Compassion, as we know, is a matter of the heart. It's primarily a response when we see suffering. And in its full form, we are led to do something to alleviate the suffering if we can. Thich Nhat Hanh once said in an interview on NPR, Buddhism means to be awake, mindful of what is happening in one's body, feelings, mind, and the world. If you are awake, you cannot do otherwise than act compassionately to help relieve suffering you see around you. So Buddhism must be engaged in the world. We understand that compassion naturally arises for us when we're mindful and we notice pain and struggle. It can be in people who are very close to us, in people we know just a little bit, in world events that we learn about in the news. We can express compassion in small acts of kindness, for example, in conversation, giving our full attention to a person. And we can express care and concern in larger ways as well. And we often have compassion after our own hearts are softened somewhat, maybe even broken, by difficult circumstances or events in our lives, and we can then offer compassion to other people. Now, we're also invited to be compassionate toward ourselves when we're experiencing challenges and stress. We're mindful of our emotions. We care for ourselves. And we act in ways that are appropriate in the moment. So we might choose to be quietly alone, or we might share our feelings with supportive people. over time, we develop some resilience, and then we offer strength to other people. A 20th century Tibetan meditation master called Nyoshal Ken Rinpoche said, "I would like to pass on one little bit of advice I give to everyone. Relax. Just relax. Be nice to each other. As you go through your life, simply be kind to people. Try to help them rather than hurt them. Try to get along with them rather than fall out with them." It's very practical advice for compassion. And for us, a familiar expression is our metta practice, where we wish all beings to be happy and safe and peaceful and free. So going back now to Joseph's original statement, in Buddhism, the method is mindfulness, the expression is compassion, and the essence is wisdom. Joseph describes wisdom this way. "The perfection of wisdom is the light that illuminates our lives, revealing both the causes and the end of suffering. Through mindful attention in the moment, we see the impermanent nature of phenomena and understand the happiness of non-grasping. And through non-grasping, we experience for ourselves the innate wakefulness of the wisdom mind." And I understand Joseph's description as kind of circling back to the Four Noble Truths, the perception of suffering, its causes, emphasizing greed, hatred, and delusion, and then the possibility of the end of suffering and the Eightfold Path to the end of suffering. Joseph adds, "Wisdom is not something we get and then have forever. Rather, it is an understanding we need to nourish and develop in our lives. It's up to us to take the next step." We can say that wisdom enables us to see clearly our experience in the moment, and we can make choices that benefit ourselves and other people. So we have three aspects of our practice: mindfulness, compassion, and wisdom. The method, the expression, the essence. Sometimes we might pay special attention to one of these aspects and sometimes to another, but they're all essential, and it's great for us to practice together. So we have some time now for you to make any comments you might wish to make, or questions you might wish to ask. And I had no idea my talk took so long. It's 1 minute to 12 and we do temple cleaning. I don't think we have any time for questions or comments. I didn't time my talk. I thought it was 10 minutes. I went by the number of words, but I slowed down. So instead we'll do mindfulness in practice, and I'll stick around for a while, and I'm happy to answer questions or interact with you in any way, and I'll stay for lunch as well. So Anne now will help us get organized for temple cleaning.